The recording has begun. You may begin.
Thank you very much. Folks, welcome to the IDN Working Group call on March 13, 2007. We have a motley crew on board. We have a good set of people already in attendance. Let me hand the mic over to Glenn and ask if you could do a roll call, Glenn.
Certainly, Ram. We have Mannion, an observer, yourself, the chair, Paul Diaz from the Registrar constituency, Johav Karen from the Registrar constituency, Sophia Bekele from the nominating committee, Werner Staub from the Registrar constituency, June Keo from the Registry constituency, Will Roger from the Business constituency, Kerry Karp from the Registry constituency, Avery Doria from the Nominating Committee, appointee to the GNSO Council, Sergi Sharikov, observer, Edmund Chung from the Registry constituency, Sharam Sobitupur from an observer, Alistair Dixon from the Business constituency, Subai from an observer, and Mark McFadden from the ISP.
Thank you very much, and thank you for joining us on this penultimate call of the GNSO IDN Working Group.
Ram, I'm sorry, this is Tina. Steve and I have joined.
William Tan, so.
Welcome, Tina Dam. Welcome, Steve Barker, and welcome, William Tan.
Sorry, and I left off the staff people, Aluf Nordling and Maria Farrell.
Thank you very much. We're just getting started, Tina, William, and Steve Crocker. I want to say a couple things. First, this is our last but one call before we finish our formal conference calls submit a final report to the GNSO Council. It's been a good set of sessions so far, and we have a draft outcomes document to go through today and to work through between here and the middle of next week. I wanted to say a couple of things. There have been some comments posted on the list that have been the subject of a few off-list comments, and I wanted to just say a couple of words about this. You know, our working group has a specific charter, and we have real work to be done. And although policy inevitably invites politics, I'd like to keep our attention focused on the real policy issues involved in IDN and not worry too much about the politics. I'd like to encourage the working group members to stay focused on our agenda and to not allow ourselves to get too distracted by tangential commentary. So having said that, I would like to get your attention to a proposed agenda for today's two-hour conference call. I have three items that I'd like to propose to you for discussion. The first would be the status of root server tests from Tina Dam. The report got published last week, and perhaps we spend about 10 minutes on that topic. And then another 10 minutes or so on the Reserved Names Working Group. Some recommendations have gone in, specifically from the IDN angle, and perhaps another 10 minutes devoted to any comments, merely comments on recommendations that have already gone in rather than reopening a brand new topic. And then really spend the next 90 minutes of our conversation on reviewing the draft outcomes document that Olaf has sent off. Now, my intent is to swiftly go to Section 4 of the draft outcomes document. If you do not have the document opened up on your computers or printed out, I'd suggest that you do that. We will start going through that in about 20 to 25 minutes' time. And to go, you know, we'll start from Section 4 in the outcomes document. And my intent today will be get us as far as we can with a goal that we cover all the major areas of agreement first, and then we go to areas of support, and then areas where there are merely alternative views exist. And that's my intent, because our primary job going into the middle of next week is to submit a document to the to a report to the GNSO Council that is focused on really areas where we have broad agreement and also areas where support exists for particular perspectives. So that's really what I have planned for today. Before we continue forward, I would like to ask if there are any comments on what I've said so far and if there are any suggestions to add to the agenda. Okay, hearing none, let's get started. Tina, would you please take the next 10 minutes or so and give us a little bit of the root server tests and what we should, as an IDN working group, take away from the report that has come out.
Sure, thanks, Tom. I think I can make this fairly short and then see if there's any questions around it. But as you know, ICANN hired Autonomica to design and conduct an IDN test focused on the root server and resolver level of the DNS. And the design of the test was published in December, and then we decided to have an open comment period on it to see if there's anything that particularly the technical community thought should be changed in that design before the test was conducted. There was no substantial feedback provided. In fact, most of the comments that I received personally was that the design looked good and was in the way that it should be. So Autonomica proceeded and conducted the test, and as you just said, we just posted and announced the test results. And all the test results were positive. Now what that means is that the software in the laboratory setup, the software for the that was chosen for the root servers and the resolvers that was chosen for the test, is capable of handling the Punicode strings. So of course that's a very positive result, and what it makes us possible to do is to move forward and see towards application layers and whether there's any additional technical concerns that needs to be addressed. But this was like the first step, so the first phase of the technical test were done with a successful result. I don't know how much you want me to go into details about how the whole thing was set up. I mean, it was a Unix platform and with the most popular software packages that are used. You know, all of the details are available online, and if there's any questions to it, you know, I can take questions now or I can take questions later. If anybody needs more details than what has been provided online, you know, you can request that through me as well.
Thank you. And let's take questions. Meanwhile, if anybody new has come on the call since the last time we did a roll call, if you could announce yourself, please.
Yes, this is Mike Rodenbach.
Welcome, Mike.
Excuse me. Here is Alexei Sozonov. RageTime.net.
Welcome, Alexei.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I've opened the floor for questions on the root server technical test that Tina just provided an update on.
Ron, it's Paul Diaz. Can I ask a question?
Sure, Paul.
Tina just begs a question. What are the next steps in terms of timeline? When do you hope to perhaps conduct in a live environment or any of the other perhaps technical application layers that you discussed?
Okay, yeah, good question. So the President Advisory Committee on IDNs have discussed phase two testing and how broad that needs to go. So there are some recommendations from that group, and right now, I am talking to the technical liaisons of the ICANN board about their view and recommendations towards how broad should the phase two testing go, and what do we need to include in it. you know, I hope we'll be able to get some information out about that as fast as possible. One item that's going to be, you know, maybe not included on that, but at least dependent on that, is going to be the study that the SFAC is planning. So we need to just spend a little time doing some coordinations on all of those activities, and then we can come out with a master plan with some timelines in it. Now, in terms of when are we capable of doing any live route testing, I think, first of all, the one thing that stands clear is that the exact test that was conducted in the laboratory environment has to be done in the root zone, as live in the root as well, as a live test. As far as I can tell at this point in time, that will be the very last test to be completed. And if successful, we can then move into live production. So, you know, I realize that I'm not giving you any good timelines, but I think that's as good as I can give an answer to that right now.
Could I just ask, Tina, do you hope, I know Paul Toomey had originally said that we might have the techno cleanings done the fall of this year. Is that general guideline still valid? You think that's possible?
Well, I know that we're trying to do it as fast as possible, understanding the need in the community. So, you know, it's something that we're trying to accomplish.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. I have a question.
Who is that?
That's Mike Rodenbaugh.
Mike, sure. Go ahead.
Sure. So I just got off another call where we talked about this briefly. I'm understanding that this test did not involve any sort of aliasing situation at all, correct?
Yeah, that's right. There's no aliasing at all. The only resource record that was tested was NS record, and since the test did not go beyond the root server and the resolvers, we did not test NS records as an aliasing function.
Okay. Is there plans to do so or to examine that in the next phases of testing?
I think actually that aliasing is going to be something that the policy working groups, let me put it in a different way. If the policy working groups are advocating that aliasing needs to be an available mechanism, then that is something that we would want to take a look at. What are the different technical options for allowing or for providing the functionality of aliasing? And of course, as you know, DNAME is one of them, and it can be done with NS records as well. And I believe there's other options as well. And you know, it probably would be appropriate to do a comparison analysis of how these different ways of providing aliasing are working, if aliasing is something that the community would want to have.
Right. Well, I think it's certainly something that many in the community are considering. I guess we don't have any real consensus on that at this point, but I guess it's a little bit of a chicken of the egg situation, too. It would kind of be nice to know what the options are in order to fully evaluate the policy implications.
Yeah, so it certainly is a chicken and the egg discussion. I'll take down the action and make sure that as there's communication going on around phase two of testing, that is being considered again.
Thank you, Tina. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Any other questions on the technical test? Okay, hearing none. Tina, thank you very much for providing the review. You know, one of the tasks of our working group was to review the technical test, the root server technical test. If there are comments that still come through that have not made it onto this conference call, I encourage you to place those comments on the mailing list and to move further discussion, if any, on the root server test results onto our mailing list. I'd now like to move to a review of the reserve name recommendations that have been made from the from the idea inside. There is a document that Sophia had provided to our IDN working group last week, asking for comments, and I'm wondering if any comments are there, and if they are, then I'd like to have that be scheduled right now.
Can I speak to that, Ram? This is Sophia.
Sure, please.
Are you asking the group if they have any comments, or are you asking if the report that I submitted, the last report I submitted, consisted of comments of the group? Maybe I can clarify.
I guess what I'm looking at is whether our group has any comments. You had sent a note in to Chuck and to the Reserve Names Working Group on Thursday.
Well, maybe I can clarify, Ram.
Please, go ahead.
I sent a matrix for everyone right after the call last time, the 5 a.m. call, I guess, California time, and solicited for comments for people so I could provide for the Thursday meeting coming for the RN working group. And so I took the comments of the ones that have contributed or got back to me, incorporated it in there, and submitted it to the working group. So if there's any additional comments, that's why I was asking for your clarification and the questioning. If there were any other comments, then I suppose, we can still, it could be a live document where we can get information from people. But just so you know, that document, the last one I submitted, was based on, some of the feedback I got. So that means we have the RN working group document has incorporated the people's comments from the IDN working group. That's all.
Thank you, Sophia. The reason I added that to the agenda today was because last week you had sent it, I think, just a little bit before the call began, and I didn't think there was an opportunity for members to perhaps read it and comment. But since a week has passed, I figured if there are any comments, let's take an opportunity for those comments to come your way.
Yeah, thank you, Ram. Excellent. Yeah.
So, it's Mike Roden. Well, I have a comment or a question.
Go ahead, Mike.
Thanks. So, Sophia, I'm looking at the table, and it seems like you have similar language in pretty much every category. I'm sorry. I'm just looking at the first single and two characters because I'm leading that subgroup and the reserve name working group, and we actually have not yet incorporated any of this language into our report. You say IDN versions should not be reserved unless there is a request from this language script community requesting it. Can you just tell me more precisely what you mean by that?
Okay. May I clarify for you, Mike? I don't think you were on the RN group the Thursday meeting, right?
No, I've been on vacation the last several days. Forgive me.
So that's okay. What happened was that report, actually Chuck thought it was my own comments. So I wanted to clarify that right now. And there are two reports that I submitted for that group. One is Chuck has come up with a format for one in the subgroup to submit their own, final recommendation. So I guess I voluntarily filled that document and sent it to Chuck saying this would probably be the final recommendation from the opinions that I collected. However, the working document that we used is the matrix, which incorporates some of the loose comments that people have made. So in translating those comments into the final document, I think that's what you're reading from right now. So
I should not be looking at the table document. I should be looking at the textual document.
I would suggest you should be looking at the table document. The textual document is the one that Chuck said should incorporate everyone's comments and then will be there for the finals.
And just for clarification, I think what you're referring to as a textual document in the email is a document that is titled 03 Report on Reserve Name for IDN WG from SB.
Well, that's the matrix. That's the loose document. which comes in a table format, RAM.
So which is the I'm confused then as to which of the two documents we should look at.
You should be looking at the table document.
The one called recommendation.
Is the document titled recommendation for RNW from IDNWG?
No, it's the O3 document, RAM.
It is the O3 document. Okay.
Okay. So the O3 document is the one that we should be looking at that you're intending to be final. And sent to the reserve name group. Okay.
For my own information, this is Gary. What is the timetable that the RN group has right now? When are they planning to wrap things up and grind out their own reports?
I can take that if you like. Are you okay?
Sophia, would you be able to answer that question?
I think from the last consensus of the meeting that I got, it's not only for the IDNs. I think there is a general consensus that some of the subgroup is still working on issues, and there are issues that are supposed to be finalized, you know, in the next few weeks because it's for additional work. There were various things that were recommended for additional work. So in my opinion, I think the IDN work, although nobody requested it, we can still solicit all, you know, put in all our information, and as Chuck has agreed, he will incorporate it in the final report for Lisbon. So I think we still have time if people want to, you know, send their comments in. That means there has not been, like, a rigid deadline.
So I would like to make the following suggestion. I do not plan to have us review this document in full on this call today. That is not our plan or our agenda. But I would like to suggest to the IDN working group members to carefully look at the document that is entitled from Sophia sent last Thursday. That is entitled and inside of the email. There are two documents, but the one that is important for us to review for accuracy and for completeness is the one that is titled 03 Report on Reserve Name for IDNWG from SB. And we need to provide some comments in there. In terms of a process of doing this, my suggestion is that you provide these comments to the entire working group and, you know, obviously choose to either send the comment as a tracking comment in the Microsoft Word document or merely write to a specific topic on the list. But you know, we'll call upon Sophia to incorporate the various comments into something that is cohesive and can be passed on to the Reserve Names Working Group.
Hey, Ron, this is Tina. Can you put me in the queue?
And you have the floor.
Thanks.
This is William Tan. Could you put me in the queue,
sure,
please?
So
go ahead.
Thanks. So just a recommendation because I'm a little bit confused as to what parts of the Reserve Names Working Group's task that we can still provide input to, because I know that they finalized some of their reports just yesterday. So I would just recommend that we perhaps do a quick follow-up with Chuck around, as he's the chair of that working group, about what reports do they still have outstanding, just to make sure that, you know, we're tasking members of this working group with work that actually will be used by the other working groups.
Good suggestion. We'll certainly make a note of it and follow it up. Thank you. William?
Yes, I'm not sure if I should be making comments directly to the document right now. Are you suggesting that we...
You're certainly welcome to do it, William.
Okay.
I was merely suggesting that for those members who had not had a chance to review it yet, to follow through onto the mailing list as well.
Right. I was just as confused as you were as to which document was I supposed to review. But looking at, I just have one specific thing to clarify. Looking at the O3 report, on the fourth column under IDNWK comments, the first paragraph says local script should be the only thing being registered. The corresponding Unicode and its variants and the ACE form should be hidden and not open to registration per se. I had always thought that we the IDN registries have always been using the ACE form as the primary registration stream. And the Unicode, if ever provided to the registry, would just be there for cross-checking or documentation purpose. So the definitive string is the Punicode string and not the local script, as it is called in this document.
Can Gary add something to that too, please, Ron?
Sure. William, are you done with the question?
Yeah.
Okay, Gary?
Because of the anguish that this causes and the fact that the one form is the more necessary in some contexts and the other in other contexts, all of the IETF documentation, the stuff that simply illustrates the problems, if I understand it correctly, it's pointing in the direction of there being an absolute necessity for presenting the two versions in tandem. There's a certain amount of mathematical over-definition there, but nonetheless, hiding the one is simply no longer appropriate. Both need to be there, and you use the one that's most appropriate to the context in which you're immediately processing it.
Can I just reply to that?
And.
Yep, I agree, and for the purpose of registration, I am pretty sure that at least the ACE form is more pertinent and more important for the registry in terms of DNS zone file population and who is and so forth.
Well, it's definitive.
Unicode and...
In the context of what is actually resolving, it is the ACE form. But in terms of what the name holder believes him or herself to be holding is, actually it's not even the Unicode representation, it's the local representation that they're going to say, yeah, that's the name I thought I had requested. So on the presentation side, it has to be the Unicode form, and on the in the zone, it can only be the ACE form.
Right, and we have to be careful when we say local, because local could pretty much mean anything from a written form to a non-Unicode based encoding, which
that's absolutely correct. But the protocol horizon does not extend past the Unicode form. But there needs to be some recognition of the Unicode perhaps being in turn converted into some other character encoding before the user actually sees it. And it is not invariably true that every single encoding system has a direct one-to-one correspondence with the elements of the Unicode character set. So there's an issue there that a registrar might have to address, which is beyond the ability of registries to deal with, and the registries need to deal with things that are beyond the reach of the protocol to deal with.
Okay.
William, do you have a suggestion?
I presume that the text here should be corrected to either what Gary said, which is that both forms are important depending on which context one or both will be needed. We shouldn't be saying that one form should be hidden and not the other.
Would you please put that text, the modification, through into the document and into the mailing list?
Sure.
Thank you.
I think I'll just email it to the mailing list.
Yes, thank you.
Tim Lee, Tam, yes. Have you put on the queue, please?
Welcome, you're in the queue and you have the floor.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask a question and to clarify the point by William and Carey. What happens if there is a change in the ACE encoding system? Does that mean that the person who registered the old version of the ACE now has to re-register because that's not the one that's being... That's the one that's being registered.
Can I comment on that?
The way around, yeah. Thanks.
Go ahead, Carey.
There is nobody is contemplating any change to the encoding system. The only thing that is being contemplated is a modification in the character repertoire that is available for encoding. in two directions, that there are characters that are currently available for encoding that are likely to become unavailable, and there are characters that are not available for encoding that need to become available. But the algorithm itself is the last thing anybody wants to see changed.
Tanvi, does that answer your question?
Right. So, but it doesn't answer the question that if sometime in the future there is a change. So is it the Unicode one that I own, or is it the ASCII one that I own?
Well, I'm afraid I don't have a crystal ball, so there's no way that I can possibly comment meaningfully on anything anything that might be considered in the future. I can only speak, hopefully, with some utility on the thing that is currently being contemplated.
And
did you have a recommendation there?
No, I was just asking to clarify. And so if the Unicode version then changes, or if a particular language group which didn't have a Unicode table and now suddenly has one because a new version has been updated now, and they want to get on, so how does that affect?
Well, this is one of the highest priorities with the protocol revision, that the current name prep is locked to Unicode 3.2. Unicode is currently at 5.0, will be at 5.1 before we get them much further. And there has to be a mechanism for the rapid accommodation of scripts that have recently been encoded. And this is being done in a manner that will in no way damage things that have already been encoded. And the unassigned code points are assigned, but there are no previously assigned code points that are being reassigned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ram, I wanted to be on the queue. Subhaya here.
Subhaya, hi, welcome, and you have the floor.
Okay. This raises an interesting point. As far as I'm concerned, any of these suggestions, you know, having both, as Carrie suggests, or having just one primary and the other hidden, they're all within the ballpark of, you know, as long as you trap all three, or there may be more than two variants here, because local encoding, trapping all of them is obviously a necessity, but which ones you want to make preeminent or display both, that's a secondary issue, and I think I'm okay with any of these, actually. However, I suddenly realized there's a legal issue that pops up here. Just occurred to me. And I think from a legal definition, if there are future changes, you know, no crystal ball, as Gary says, so in the future there's some changes of any kind, whether it's the underlying algorithm or to new characters and so on and so forth. From a legal perspective, it may be important from the owner's point of view of a domain name, what it is that is precedent that the person has bought. That has to be clarified from a legal perspective. I mean, we're talking about, you know, perhaps technically, you know, what people should be shown, the differences and so on, but from a purely legal point, maybe Mike Rodenboy, I believe he's a lawyer, maybe he can say something about this. Is there a necessity for defining something to be legal?
For defining something to be illegal, Subhaya?
No, legal. That between these variants of the names, you know, there's the local language version and there's the Unicode version, in the case of Unicode, and then there's the Punicode version. There are these versions that we're trapping them for the purposes of, you know, recording them, making sure there's no confusion and all of those things. That's what we're discussing about. But from the perspective of the person who bought the name, right, from a legal perspective, what has he actually bought? Do we need to define that? Has he bought the legal, what has he actually bought from a legal, you know, is it the name in that local language, or is it the Unicode version, or both? I mean, is there something that needs to be specified from a very legal perspective?
It's actually a good question, Maya. I think that it's, you know, as with all legal questions, that's going to come down to a country-by-country situation. But, you know, generally, as far as trademark law goes, it's much more concerned with the Unicode version than the ACE version, obviously, since users don't really see the ACE version.
Right. But my point is that, I mean, all of this can be decided, but I'm just raising the issue that we've seen it all from a sort of a technical perspective so far in this discussion, whereas this policy group is really about policy. And so it may be worthwhile in this effort, and maybe a recommendation should be put in somewhere. I don't mean just for the reserve names group, but for the IDN working group itself, that somewhere it should be noted that along the line, it would be worth defining, you know, legally what it is that we think that the person has brought in the documents as we go forward. I mean, it's not a question of, you know, I mean, not putting a legal definition there could work against us in the future, but it's just a matter of deciding what it is. You know, we're trapping everything technically, that's fine. But from a legal perspective, we probably need to state that as well for clarity in the future.
I think you want to stay away from saying, you know, it's a legal definition or whatever, but I think you can address what you're trying to say by defining a domain name as both the ACE and the Unicode version.
We're also assuming it's property, and isn't that massively contentious?
That is still contentious in some countries, sure. More effectively, whose property it is, Terry.
Thank you for the question and for the responses. We're about 10 minutes beyond where I thought we would be in beginning the discussion of the draft outcomes report. I would like to just take a quick moment and ask if there are any other questions or comments before we get to opening up the draft outcomes report and working through the document.
Ram, it's Alistair here. I just had a comment or a question in relation to the single character at the top level issue.
Yes, please go ahead.
I noticed, Sophia, that you have recommended release of single characters at the top level, and I guess in terms of the both Mike Rodenbauer and I are on the subgroup that's working on that particular issue, and one of the arguments against release of single characters at the top level is risks of mistyping, and I guess it seems to me that to the extent there is such a risk, this would apply to both IDNs and ASCII characters. And I just wondered if anybody had any comments on that.
This is Ram. I'll put myself in the queue.
This is Werner. I would also like to be in the queue.
Okay.
Edmund as well.
Who is the third?
Edmund.
Edmund, okay. All right. My comment is that I believe that single characters as they're defined right now are not an IDN specific issue, and therefore it's my opinion that we shouldn't be spending a great deal of our time discussing the merits and demerits of opening up single characters at the top level in an IDN discussion. Werner?
Yes, actually it is not in contradiction to what you said, but actually it would appear to contradict it. In the context of IDN, there is more reasons to have a single character top-level domain because in many languages there are characters that actually represent entire syllables and take multiple strokes to type. Actually, it's to type a single character in Chinese and Japanese, for many of them at least, it takes multiple strokes to type it, same for Korean. So actually, even though it appears to us as a single character, and in some cases maybe a single character as it is in Chinese, or a glyph as in Korean representing two sometimes or up to five different characters in a single square, it is not the same concept as a single character that we have in Latin script, and it really would be overkill to require that in a language where it already takes several keystrokes to type a single character, that you would have to put two or more.
Thank you, Werner. Edmund?
Werner has actually covered everything that I wanted to say, but just to sort of add to that is, so certain, probably certain languages, certain scripts are maybe dealt differently in terms of single character DLDs.
Thank you for those comments. They're very helpful.
Thank you. At this point, I'd like to direct your attention to the document that Olaf Nordling sent out earlier in the week. And our job here that I'd like to focus us on is to spend the next 75 minutes or so
just focused on the on section four outcomes, and in there, what I'd like to really spend initially the most amount of our time on is to look at areas where we have said there is agreement, because I want to make sure that if we say there is agreement, because the way we have defined it, let me quickly say what we mean by the following terms. There's agreement, there is support, there's outside of scope. And what we mean by agreement is that it is something that we can send over to the council as something that we believe it's kind of the consensus view. Support says there is some gathering of positive opinion, but competing positions may exist and full agreement has not been reached. And outside of scope means that the topic has been discussed, but the group considers it to be outside its purview. Alternative view means that a differing opinion exists, but it does not garner enough attention to get to either support or agreement status. So I'd like to focus our initial attention on the areas where we say, we've said here in the draft outcomes report, agreement exists, finish that up, and then move on to areas where we say support exists, finish that up, and then finally get to, and along the way I expect we will also, we'll automatically get to areas of alternative views or things that are outside of the scope. I mean, end of the day, our working group's primary job is to shine light on an area where much heat has been generated and to provide a clear set of recommendations to the council in terms of what areas might be good for a PDP to start, whether there are any such areas or not. So with that being said, I'd like to start with...
Ram, this is Yoav. I would like to comment something before you start.
Okay, that was Yoav, and before Yoav, was that Avery?
Yeah, I wanted to ask a clarifying question.
Okay, Avery, go ahead, please.
Okay, in the report, agreement says broad agreement. Then you use the consensus word. And so
I'm wondering
what it is you're saying.
But really, broad agreement is the intent. Consensus is really what I used it inappropriately. Broad agreement is what is intended here. Consensus, as we had said in an earlier call, is a kind of a term of art that we will leave for just the council.
Okay, how do you define broad agreement?
Well, we had said before that broad agreement means. It's a recommendation, if you will, that when it goes into the council, our working group members would say we agree. There'd be a general nodding of heads. In an IETF context, you would get a loud hum in the room.
Okay, so you're basically equating it to rough
consensus. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
There was massive consensus that we didn't agree on anything.
Yeah, Ram. I would like to. This is Yoav. Can I?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Right now. Okay. So I would like to comment. Maybe go further on this. I think that there's a little. I feel that there's a kind of a problem with the current term that we're using with the agreement, support, and alternative views. And I specifically speak about the support term, and I'll explain why. I think that this can be very confusing for a lot of people when you say support. If the word agreement wasn't there, so people would think that it was the same. And when you're saying support, it's kind of saying, okay, this is what we think is the right thinking. And although there are alternative views, it really, as you say, spots out this point. Now, I think that this whole thing is not very clear. We didn't really count votes or anything, and we didn't have all over in all the calls everyone there, and we didn't. I think it would be even impossible because right now I think maybe we have over 40 people on the group. And to have everyone discuss all points, it will be very hard to see exactly what's the view. So I think that where we don't have an agreement,
or I think it would be much better not to say support, but just show alternative views. And because if on one situation there were a few more people saying, okay, there is support for the thing that they support on that point, and maybe there were 10 other people that were not on the call that really saw that it's not. Now, it's really problematic at this point, and we don't. I think it will be better for all of us not to to put out for the council all the alternative views on the same way, and then you know they will need to discuss which one is better to their views, and they have a kind of there's a voting system on the council, so I think that would be smarter and less confusing.
So I would like to make just an observation and then very very quickly take it back to to discuss in the document. My thoughts are the following, Yoav. I understand what you're saying. My thought is that we should not worry about those who either did not attend the call or did not listen to the transcripts and did not do their homework and provide a perspective. Every single call that we've had has been archived, available on MP3, and transcribed. And, I find it unacceptable that if somebody did not participate in a call, their voice was not heard. I think those who wanted to get heard had the ability to get heard. Having said that, I certainly understand that being on a call live, you get the ability to interact that you don't get in a mailing list format. But we have what we have, which is a joint conference call, mailing list type of a scenario. My concern is the following, which is that if you put everything on an alternative view, then we really are saying not much to the council, and we really do not have any recommendation at all. So my thought is that if you're, I see what you're saying about support without agreement might give the an impression that is what we think is the right thing to do. It's possible to modify the word support, but I'm a little concerned about calling every view an alternative view when, for instance, you might have a topic where there are really only two views and support exists for both of those views, but not any others.
May I just make one more comment or suggestion on that, Rahm? It's Mike Rodenbaugh.
Sure, go ahead, please.
I mean, really, now is the time, right? We have a draft report. Everybody certainly has an opportunity now to say whether they disagree with any of these things. So I guess I don't really see what the concern is.
Well, maybe I'll clarify again, Mike. The term is problematic, and I'm not saying that. Look, don't get me wrong. There are points here where it says support, which is really even things that I think I personally said, and some points where things I think they're right are alternative views. So it's not specific. I'm just saying something general that I think the word support can be confusing on how this is taken later on, and the alternative views will be less considered, although in some cases they should be considered on the same level, and we didn't really quantify the support, because I and maybe Ram, you can correct me, I'll feel much better if you can explain me, how did you, when I don't know if you did it or anyone else, when you did this draft, how did you come to a conclusion that on this point you had support and on that point there was an alternative view and not support? So how did you come to that conclusion? Because to my thing, it would be a subjective feeling that was during the call and not really what everyone or would have thought.
Fair enough, Yoav. I have, I think, perhaps an elegant solution to this. First is that each of these has actually been sent out and out to the group. If you look at the early ones, we published these almost immediately the week of the calls.
And the, you know, there was opportunity for folks to make corrections. However, it's not too late. As Mike was saying, we're going to go through these one by one, Yoav, and if something is called alternative view and it ought to be called support, there's an opportunity to modify that now. So I'd rather go there rather than, you know, recraft the word support itself. Because it's really not too late. I mean, we have an opportunity to upgrade, downgrade what views are being said in this document.
Subhaya on the queue, please.
Sophia here, too.
Subhaya on the queue, please.
Okay, Subhaya.
Oh, good, yeah. Actually, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, I must say that what Ram is suggesting may be okay. I mean, just, you know, he's understood that maybe there's some worries about, you know, what's up and what's down or whatever, and we can adjust this as we go along, perhaps. You know, that seems a, you know, a good faith effort, so I think that that might be a way to go forward. That's just my comment. Thanks.
Thank you, Subhaya. Sophia?
I guess I was going to sort of go that route. It is a bit confusing where there's not a, you know, a defined rule. Actually, you know, you're the chair. You, I suppose you came up with this sort of words. I've not seen one of these kind of coming to consensus type of way of doing things. And the other working group, it's either or kind of thing. So I think it leaves a room for confusion on how the support is defined. And, you know, for example, one can use, you know, if there's no agreement, for example, then someone can go to alternative view list. We're doing the same thing with the support. So I think if you allow that we go through every step and come up with a clear, a defined consensus, then and I think that's okay. But initially, when you look at it, yes, it gives an impression that it leaves few of the voices out. So, but I agree with the new proposal that you have right now.
Thank you. In fact, that was my proposal.
Yeah, I think it's also okay, Raman. I just wanted to comment.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Excuse me. And Alex have something.
Alex, go ahead.
And that's not our fault that we doesn't participate in this decision-making process. So, and we have this term agreement. So I agree with Yoav in this case.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
Okay. I will draw your attention to 4.1.2. That is the first topic that has currently been tracked as agreement. And again, my talk here is that we will go through this document, look at the areas where we say agreement exists, and we'll either agree that we could call it broad agreement, or we downgrade it, and we move on to the next area of agreement. I'd like to go through the areas of agreement today, and then focus on support and alternative views later in the call today, and if we run out of time in our on the mailing list as well as in our final call next week. So 4.1.2, which is under the main heading of introduction of IDN GTLDs in relation to new GTLDs, it currently reads that there was agreement to avoid ASCII squatting situations for applications for new GTLDs, if accepted for insertion in the root at an earlier stage than IDN GTLDs, could preempt later applications for IDN GTLDs. I'd like to open this topic for discussion now.
Please, Werner, just a small comment.
Werner, you're in the queue and you have the floor.
Okay, I think there's nothing to change in there as such, but maybe the example is a little bit unfortunate with Espana and Espana, because that would be an example of where, if it went live, people would probably look at one being an alias of the other, because, you know, that would actually need to exist possibly both ways. So, you know, it may be good to find another example.
Thank you. Edmund was in the queue.
I agree with the statement itself, but I think it might be important to get some clarification in terms of how this is actionable. Because how would, let's say, for example, the ICANN board is considering an application, how would it come to a determination whether it, you know, whether it's trying to enforce this particular statement. That, I think, would be kind of important.
My thought, Edmund, is that since we're actually addressing this to the council, if the council wanted to act on it, they would then have to take this recommendation from us and craft it into something, you know, that would become policy.
So the in order to make it actionable, it will come back to us for discussion.
Well, working group disbands in Lisbon, so I suspect that it would actually go to the GNSO council.
Okay.
But however, if you would like to suggest different wording, this is the opportunity to do it.
I'm not sure whether it's a good idea to you know, just make sure that this particular, because this is somewhat related to I haven't looked through the whole document yet, that there was a discussion about how to determine the community where you know you go to for particular language or those kind of things. Because this particular part would relate to that, and that area is still very much in need of discussion.
Okay. Comment is noted here, and I'm making the notes in the document. I heard somebody else who wanted to make a comment.
This is Sophia Ram.
Okay, go ahead, Sophia.
I apologize. Are we on 4.1.1?
4.1.2, agreement to avoid ASCII squatting situation.
We jumped from 1.1. Sorry.
We're going to first discuss agreement areas, then through the document, and then go back to areas where we think there is support.
Okay. I missed that.
Any other comments on 4.1.2?
Ram, it's Alistair. I think it's a comment rather than proposed.
Go ahead.
Change. It seems to me that this particular issue could be ASCII squatting. I mean, the proposal, as I understand the new GTLD policy, is that proposals for new GTLDs would be put out for public comment, and that if somebody was wanting to propose an IDN form of an ASCII TLD, then there would be an opportunity to comment on that. I would have thought also that Espana and Espana would potentially be caught with confusing similarity compared with Espana and vice versa. And I think that with that particular requirement. So it seems to me, I think this is actually, my initial thought was, well, perhaps this is difficult to implement practically, but I think if you take into account those, the opportunity for public comment about proposals for new GTLDs, then I think there is a possible way around this ASCII squatter problem.
Thank you. Any other comments? Right, thank you. The next area that has been in the draft document that we listed as agreement existing is 4.3.1, which is aspects relating to existing GTLD strings and existing IDN SLVs.
Ram, this is Olaf. You're actually skipping 4.2.3 you're the chair and you choose the order.
I'm sorry, what I have in 4.2.3 is
okay.
Just support for developing policy.
Is it green?
Yeah, that's an agreement.
Oh, 4.2.3.
Cheryl has a comment on 4.3.4.1. Hello? Sharon has a comment. Hello?
Yes. hear you over the dog.
Can you hear me right now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. I have a point on form 431, okay?
Actually, I just noted that I had skipped over 3. I would like to take us to 2.3.
Okay, wait.
If you could hold your comments when we, until we get to 431, I'd appreciate it.
This is Audrey. Can I say something on 423, the first agreement?
Please go ahead.
I'm not sure that I agree that GAC consultation is helpful. It may be necessary, but I'm not sure it's helpful.
So you would recommend a change to GAC consultation is necessary?
Right.
Okay. Any comments on that change?
This is what you say, may be necessary.
That's fine with me, too.
I like the may part a little bit more.
Okay, thank you.
Ram, I would like to, this is your other, I would like to comment on the second agreement.
Please go ahead.
I just wanted maybe to add an example. When you say appropriate bodies, maybe say, for example, a suitably convened language committee for the GTLD selection in that particular language. It can be maybe even say further that it would be a one per language and fairly representing the geographical distribution of the community worldwide. I think it would be right to, you know, to add it here, so it will be more clear of what we're talking about.
Okay, Yoav, so the following modification from Yoav is open for comment. The modification that I've written down is that at the end of the second agreement in 4.2.3, which says agreement that a suitable process for consultation and identification of appropriate bodies is needed when considering new ID and GTLD strings. We say, you all suggest, for example, a suitably convened language committee for the GTLD selection, that particular language, one per language, fairly representing the geographic representation of the community worldwide.
Yep.
Comment?
Actually, Ram, this is Sophia.
Go ahead.
I think that's a very good idea. To clarify further, maybe I would even add for the where he mentioned for the GTLD selection / award in that particular language, just to clarify further. So basically what we're suggesting, or I'm suggesting, is that I guess there has to be, while we're seeking for GAC consultation, and it may be necessary, but I think also to bring in the language committee is important. So I think that's what the words we are playing with. And at the same time, that language community is important for the GTLD selection, during GTLD selection and the award process as well. So I think what you all said is okay, with the exception just to add award next to the selection would further clarify it as well.
So the modified suggestion is as follows. It says, for example, a suitably convened language committee for the GTLD selection and award in that particular language, one committee per language, fairly representing the geographic representation of the community worldwide. I will be posting this on the wiki as well, by the way.
I think geographical distribution is better instead of representation. But.
Yeah. I'm okay with that, too. Yeah.
Ram, it's Mark. I'd like to be in the queue.
Man, you have the floor.
Thank you, Ram. If I understand the language, I don't have it written down in front of me. If I understand the language, what's being suggested here is the creation of a... It's not creation of a process here. Now bodies are being created on the fly. Is that what's going on? for each possible new GTLD, we have a language.
Can I speak to that, please, Gak? Ram?
Sure.
Okay. Just to add to that, I don't think, you know, this is a suggestion of creating anybody on the fly. I doubt if language community is sort of a community which you can, you know, isolate and say to create on the fly. I think it's important community that probably has been, even on our GTLD meetings, has been considered to go to, you know, to clarify such issues. So this is just a recommendation, and I think it's okay to suggest that. Nobody is making a policy out of it yet. But what we're saying is a language community is very critical in terms of GTLC selection and award process for the same reason, you know, that the GAC consultation is important. So it's a matter of identifying the critical bodies. It's not creating one. The creation of it, I suppose, will be determined, you know, as time goes along. But this is a document that we put our recommendation in, and I suggest that, you know, we put our inputs there, so...
Can you put Harry in the queue, please, Ron?
Harry, you're in the queue, and you have the floor.
My name is okay. The queue, please. I've commented on this before, so I actually really don't need to do it again, but I can't resist. And that's just calling attention to the fact that in the grander ICANN scheme of things, the GAC does have ascendancy in speaking on any issues that national governments regard as theirs. And this language stuff, without suggesting for a moment that it's not of crucial significance to our own activity, is still something that we are not going to be able to buck GAC from thinking on. That we don't have control over this issue, and we can try to gain control of this issue, but I can see that leading nowhere productive.
I'm not quite clear with that.
What do you recommend?
Yeah, what do you think?
What I'm recommending is that any action that we wish to undertake on behalf of the generic top-level domains that requires anchorage in language communities to the extent that any government might have some thoughts on that matter has to be anchored in the GAC.
Kerry, this is Yoav. I just want to say, I said language community, okay? It's clear that you know, the GAC has, and, you know, GAC representations will be a part in that language community. So, but not only them, because the language community would probably, if you'll take, for example, I think it's easiest is Chinese, it won't be only the rep in the GAC, probably Chinese people from other countries and from not only from China and from all over the world. So that's a language community.
Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not expressing my personal perspective on this. I'm simply commenting on the way the various aspects of this discussion have been faceted in the ICANN way of doing things. And whoever it is that reasonably ought to be speaking on behalf, say, of the Chinese speech communities of the world, absent GAC participation in that, nothing's going to happen in ICANN.
No one said that that GAC is going to be absent.
No,
excuse me, I'd like to get people in the queue rather than just speaking aloud because it's hard to make out who is speaking.
Subaya would like to be in the queue.
And I would like to speak too.
Who was that?
Sharon.
Sharon?
Right?
Sharon, go ahead.
Okay, regarding this issue, I think in my language, Persian, it is spoken in several countries. And in this situation, I think a language constituency that includes all of the countries can be useful.
Thank you, Sharon.
Okay.
Subaya?
I would like to, going into this topic right now, the original, if I'm not mistaken, the original agreement that predecessed my own, participation in these meetings. I joined only last week. Now, it appears that there's already agreement from before, and I mean this is not support, this is agreement from the previous group, which I assume is broad consensual agreement from prior to my participation, that suggests that agreement that a suitable process for consultation and identification of appropriate bodies is needed when considering a new IDNTTLD string. Okay? Now, what is being proposed now is not changing that agreement, I think. That agreement says, look, there should be appropriate bodies. There should be a process to choose an appropriate body, you know, to help in this process. Okay. What is being suggested is that one of the examples for that should be the language committee, a community from the language. Okay. And what is being pointed out is they should not be left out of such appropriate bodies. I think that's what people are trying to say at this point. And so there's no real change to the existing thing that was agreed to by everybody, I assume, before. What it is saying is that let's make sure that these appropriate bodies, for example, include, you know, representation from the language community as a whole. And as Stuart says, it could include the GAC or whatever. Now, I understand that Gary's point of view is, let's not do anything because without GAC, nothing moves anyway. So don't put anything in. But that would be, I know Gary wouldn't be exaggerating it as far as I'm about to say, but I'm just taking that to the logical end. We can just simply say, look, we're not going to be able to decide anything anyway, and somebody somewhere is going to just make all the decisions for us. Therefore, let's not put anything in. These are just recommendations, okay? And so, I mean, that's going, you know, much further than what Gary would have liked to say, I think, but still, I'm just trying to mark the point.
Thank you, Tobias. Sophia.
I would want to add, not to give a feeling that we are extending it to language community is not to be feared from the perspective of not feeding the this in its capacity will be able to want to actually consult with the language community. I'm not here to speak for GAC, but it is a natural harmony for governments to consult with a language community and to seek their consultation. And I think in Los Angeles, I think Avery was there too when we did the GTLD policy, and Paul Toomey was there, and we talked about IDNs and similar issues was raised. And I mean, there is a consensus. There is an agreement that we need to go beyond GAP and address people who have the language expertise. Language expertise GAC does not have. And or if they want to hire people from the language community to do so, be it. But it's their decision. That is one comment I have. And the other one is probably doesn't want to take us out of this particular one is, didn't we have a GAC liaison for this group, Ram? And, you know, given, don't we have any input from GAC so far? And what is the status? There has not been any report like the RN group. I was just wondering if this is an opportune time to even ask for that relationship that we have.
I think the GAC moves on its own schedule, Sophia.
Oh, okay. So we don't have any comments then. It's not going parallel.
My name on the queue, please.
Manian, sure, go ahead.
Well, talking about a language committee, I think that being one from the language committee, it is something we support that what the proposed amendment going to be like. And like Sophia just read out that language committee to be consulted from the GTLD selections / award. And Sophia, another one that if the GAC, the GAC could consider, they too should consult language communities because we have the expertise to advise them on not only the scripts perspective, but on the right TLDs itself. Thank you.
Excuse me, may Alex say a word?
Alex, go ahead.
I agree with Sophia because actually that's like good intention to leave everything to GAC, but otherwise we need to have it clear, write it on paper that it needs to be agreed with language constituency from like Russian's point of view. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to put myself in the queue here. I'm struck after this discussion, I'm struck by two things. One is that I have heard nobody really object, as Subhaya pointed out, nobody objects to the second agreement that a suitable process for consultation and identification of appropriate bodies is needed. And I'm also struck by, I think it was Mike who was saying that what we seem to be suggesting here is either the form, is that a suitably, that we do need to, that we may be recommending to the council that a language committee must be convened for each language that a GTLD application comes into. And to me, it seems like that particular example is something we haven't discussed before. What we have discussed is that a process for consultation and identification of appropriate bodies is needed. So I'm wondering whether we should take this example and say that and move that into the support area, because it seems to stand alone by itself and doesn't seem to require the prior agreement that we all have no objection to.
Since my name was just mentioned in vain, I wouldn't mind making a comment to that.
Never in vain, Subhaya. Go ahead.
So I think there's no. I mean, because as it stands, I think that what you have suggested was, if I'm not mistaken, I'm reading here what I just jotted down. For example, I think there was basically an example was being given to include essentially language community in terms of the appropriate bodies. Right? I mean, that's all that was done. So there's really, I don't see that there's much being distracted if we could add a support statement, you know, as you suggest underneath, which says, in reference to the agreement above, you know, for example, blah, 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 whatever there was there, basically referring to that agreement, saying such an appropriate body could be, there was support to the extent that an appropriate body could be, blah, 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 as one of many.
Exactly. I mean, that's where I was going as well, that perhaps we move this to support for developing a suitably convened language committee for the GTLD selection/award in that particular language, one committee per language fairly representing the geographic distribution of the community worldwide.
What I was thinking was more to, you know, I mean, that's right, but I was just thinking you'd be even more specific, so basically everybody gets what they want, I guess, from my discussion that I just heard, which is that you could specify that, you know, basically referring to the word appropriate bodies itself, saying such appropriate bodies could be, you know, amongst others, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Understood.
Sure.
Can you put Carrie back in the queue?
Carrie, yes. You're in the queue, you have the floor.
Okay. I resent having what I'm saying taken to an absurd conclusion in an attempt to dismiss it. From the GTLD perspective, I think one of the things we do not want to do is have the GAC expressing to the extent that they have considered themselves entitled some right to determining what GTLD strings may or not appear in the IDN space. There is an enormous pressure, and quite a well-supported one, to see to it that the internationalized TLD space is going to be a CC concern long before it's eligible for discussion in the GTLD realm. And if we decide to counter by claiming some superior expertise over things, if we go to the GAC and tell their Russian representative, the representative of the Russian government, that they don't have access to Russian language expertise, we are just begging for the kind of trouble that I don't think we want. And again, this is not an expression of my own assessment of the depth in which we need to penetrate language communities. It's an expression of the situation in which I believe we find ourselves just in terms of political reality, and anything we plan to do, if we wish to succeed, needs to be cognizant of that. We cannot rewrite this entire process to further some specific goals that people among us happen to have.
Can we comment?
Go ahead, Henry.
Well, I would have thought that if I could understand the position that and the elaboration of what appropriate bodies mean, I would have thought that the language community or community would probably be represented to a large extent by GAC members, you know. And I imagine that because it's a recognition of the fact that individual GAC representatives might be involved in more than one language,
at the same time, one language may involve subset of GAC members, and that they need to sit down in a committee to discuss how the rollout for that particular language is to be undertaken. So I think I tend to read that it supports the GAC consultation process rather than create something else. Just a comment.
Excuse me, may Alex have a word?
Sure, Alex. I have Edmund in the queue before you, and then we'll go to you. Edmund?
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about the general agreement part. The new suggestion, it seems very specific in, for example, in terms of one language per committee, and it does anticipate creation of committees. So I'm not sure I completely agree yet. And the other part is, in terms of the requiring sort of this type of committee, are we contemplating that any application coming in would go through, or are we contemplating that applications that have issues, for example, during public comment, or there are contention, or some kind of issue turn up, and then we do the consultation, or that, you know, or it's being consulted every single time there is a IDN GTLD application?
The way it is crafted, to answer your second question first, the way it is crafted right now, the second agreement says, agreement that a suitable process is needed when considering new IDN GTLD strings. So that presupposes every IDN GTLD string, not just those that generate controversy.
Okay, in that case, you know, I would be worried about sort of a creation of, as there was a comment about creation of these committees, quote unquote, on the fly when a GTLD string comes in.
But let me do this. On the wiki, I have uploaded this agreement. I'd like to drive us to is to stay with the agreements as they were originally written, and to add a brand new area which now says, in reference to the development of a suitable process for consultation and an identification of appropriate bodies, support for developing a suitably convened language committee for GTLD selection award in that particular language, fairly representing the geographic distribution of the community worldwide. And that's separate, and it's not part of the agreement.
Excuse me?
Alex?
Yes, we raised the Russian issue, so that's a good example. Then someone was addressing kind of Russian government, and at the same time we were begging to put us in business constituency, and now we're here, but in the end of work. So if we're talking about language community, so that's us, right? So that's a very principle to be put it on list. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any real objection to what I'm suggesting, which is to move forward? We have two areas where we actually have pretty strong agreement, it seems like, and most of the comments in the last 15 minutes have been about, you know, the modalities of this committee, et cetera. And I think, you know, clearly there is not agreement on this. There is some support for it, but not agreement. So I'd like to move that into the support category.
This is Werner. I have a comment.
Go ahead, Werner.
Yeah. What worries me about the way this is put right now is that each IDN string would actually have to go through the possibly exorbitant cost of developing, you know, it's a convening a language committee when there would be absolutely no justification to do so, which would mean that launching an IDN COD would be prohibitively expensive and risky. So, again, I think it is probably in the context of what Edmund said, better to focus on proposing a way of resolving issues, and when doing so, developing convened or suitably convened committee at the ICANN level would be an action of last resort, because probably they will already be in a specific language suitably convened bodies that can be asked for their opinion.
So, Edmund and Werner, would you have a suggestion to modify the second agreement? Since you're suggesting it, do you have some words that you can propose to the group?
I'd like to be on the queue to make a comment. Subbaiah.
Okay, Subbaiah, I have you in the queue, but I had a question into Edmund.
I think I'll probably have to think a little bit about it, and, you know, putting it on a wiki or going back to the mailing list would be appropriate. But the main point would be that I think slight changes would suffice in indicating that the general concept of requiring having a suitable process for consultation is okay. I think the addition of the latter part in terms of convening committees, that one, you know, require additional specification on when that actually happens and how that happens.
Thank you. Subbaiah?
Yeah, my comment is this, for what Werner brought up. Werner, I'd like to just say that, for instance, we could not be anywhere near launching Chinese right now, for instance, the CJK languages, if it hadn't been for the lot of effort, years of effort of work that the Chinese community put in. Now, 3-4 years, you're well aware, I think Edmund was on the committee, William, I believe, was involved at some point, and he certainly was. You know, that community, together later with the Japanese, the Koreans, for the script, they spent years to work out something that was acceptable to all of them, right? In terms of, you know, and that took time and effort. There was a cost to it. It wasn't just, you know, people's time, you know, beyond real cost. So, but we have a very nice solution because of all of it. That's why we're able to go forward in, you know, a major part of the world's languages, you know. And so, unfortunately, but that's, you know, if they hadn't paid for that cost or that time or the years that they spent, we wouldn't be able to go for it now, you know. So I think that my point is that in a sort of an exemplary case, we wouldn't be able to go forward, and it does take time and cost, you know. And of course, one is not imagining millions of dollars, I think, in this point of view, but I suspect, you know, some could cost in, you know, getting, you know, people, volunteers, whatever, from the community. I think that's what is maybe intended here, okay? But my main point is to raise the point that in an exemplary case, it took for years, and we're all there to see it. Why would it not require at least some small fraction of that effort in other languages? All languages.
May I respond to that?
Sure, yeah.
This is one. I wholeheartedly agree with what you say. It is not the question of whether a committee is actually convened. The question is whether a new one has to be convened at the ICANN level, where all the efforts have already been done. So imagine a situation where the Chinese and Japanese and you know, various people work on that will be told, sorry, but right now we have to go and wait until ICANN convenes the committee.
I appreciate what you're saying. What you're trying to say, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying that basically in the cases where they're already, in the case like Chinese and so on, there's already something convened, it's something acceptable that the community accepts, then you can move forward pretty easily. But if you have to sit around waiting for ICANN or whatever to convene something, this could slow things down. Am I paraphrasing you correctly? Or
Indeed, yes.
Correct. Then I think my thinking is, given the discussion so far, I didn't think that there were any odds in your view and what's being, you know, being suggested by some of the people so far, which is that you know, if the whole idea here is that, you know, that language communities should be encouraged to come up and to do what essentially what the Chinese have done or whatever in each of these languages, and bring their expertise, whatever, in a voluntary way, and essentially petition ICANN to say, look, we're organized in this language group, you know, and we think we can give some input, and, you know, we'll be able to help and assist so that we can get our languages out. I think if something like that were to happen, you wouldn't be upset with that, correct, Werner?
Indeed, that's why I think the
convening of the committee. Maybe it's just a map. What you may be suggesting then, perhaps, is that perhaps changing the wording of this to suggest that you know, my, you know, to say that there should be input from, I don't know how to, see, I think you're, perhaps, I mean, again, I could be wrong, but your worry is that, you know, that ICANN may not, as an institution, may not move fast enough to get a language community going if you were left up to them, but really, you know, you'd be okay if there was a language community giving input. So then maybe the smarter thing to do now would be to find some wording that would accommodate that in this wording. You know, it doesn't right off the top come off to my head, but just suggest.
Ram, sorry, Ram, could I join the queue, Alistair?
Sure.
I just have the floor. For some wording.
Sure. You have the floor.
Okay, thank you. My suggestion would be to amend this proposed wording to agreements that a suitable process for consultation, including with relevant language communities, is needed when considering new IDN GTLD strings.
Could you repeat that, please?
So, agreement that a suitable process for consultation, including with relevant language communities, is needed when considering new IDN GTLD strings.
And I think that if the original intent was to be captured, one could add the whole issue of, you know, fair representation or whatever is necessary.
Well, I think, Alistair, the other thing to also consider is, I mean, what Edmund said, which is not, you do this not every time, but when there is a problem. That's what Edmund's suggesting.
Olaf, could I join your queue, please?
Go ahead.
Maybe I got, a quick fix. I like quick fixes. If we add, if we keep it as it stands, and then is needed when considering issues with new IDN GTLD strings, is that what the meaning of the meeting is?
Right.
Well, that's not what I suppose.
I could be added in the queue to make a comment regarding what Edmund suggested. Kibaya.
Edmund, what's your suggestion?
Actually, clarification. I think in general, in terms of all IDN GTLDs, there is a need to have some additional process that will complement the current process. But in the case of, and that should not require certain additional consultation of bodies or external bodies or committees. But when issues arise, this is also included in a general process. When issues arise, then certain outside bodies would be consulted. I think that you know, just to clarify the original view that I wanted to bring up.
Thank you. Tobias?
Yeah, my comment would be, I'd go along with Roberto on this one, one of logic on the previous point, which is that if it was left up to ICANN, and, you know, the whole issue is, issues are only known by the language community, often. It's not known by somebody who's not from that group. So if we really, you know, so to say that only if issues arise, that kind of goes around the whole point, that issues, you know, one may not know issues in that language community. So I think that if at some level, you know, inclusion as a standard automatic thing, inclusion of consultation with the language community is not included, you know, it's not going to get used and it will just get launched. Like in several years ago when, you know, people now understand that what was then launched in the past, multilingually in very, you know, IDN.ASCII form, you know, wasn't right in some languages and so on, you know, and it was done because, you know, a global decision was made. Whereas if it's just when issues come up, well, then the tendency, I would believe, for an organization, you know, any, including ICANN, would be to say there were no issues and just go ahead, you know.
What we have right now is the following. We have a suggestion from Alistair, which says the following. Agreement that a suitable process, this is on the wiki, by the way, agreement that a suitable process for consultation, including with relevant language communities, is needed when considering new IDN GTLD strings. Edmund, you are still suggesting a modification to this.
Actually, this is generally fine. I mean, as I mentioned, I think the general process should include considerations of the language community. I'm just saying that, you know, when additional committees are convened, that should be triggered by, you know, when certain issues arise.
Thank you.
Carrie in the queue, please.
Carrie, you're in the queue. You have the floor.
Yeah, I just have a general question. I assume that ICANN, who, like it or not, makes the decisions about what applications that are submitted to it ultimately succeed, doesn't ICANN refer these applications to experts as they deem necessary, and why would they not refer these things to requisite linguistic expertise where necessary?
Well, one would assume that they would, and you could make the point here that we are stating the obvious, but nevertheless, the IDN Working Group has broad agreement that ICANN should continue doing something that is appropriate to do.
Ram, can I add to that?
Yes, I would like to also add something. Yeah.
Okay. Sophia, then you are.
Yeah, I think, Carrie, you're right in what you were saying. Why can't ICANN refer to other experts and linguistic experts as it deemed to? And I think that's true, but what we're doing as an IDN working group is actually to capture the linguistic side of things. And I think that's the kind of thing that was discussed when we were doing the GTLD policy. There is a lack of language expertise that ICANN had. So what we're, you know, what this process is really saying, let's just do a referral or a check with the language community. And, you know, and I also understand the concern of Ed in terms of the bureaucracy that's created if we have to identify, you know, for every TLD, if we're going to have to convene a new group to consult. I mean, but there is also, we need to balance the issue of, do we only go there when issues are created? That would delay the whole process further. Or do we consult with the language community before any issues occur? So, I mean, that is the operationalization of the language group, and I think ICANN could be further advised on when to invoke that or not. You know, but from the perspective of writing the REST recommendation, I think Alexter had a good, good recommendation on how to write it, with probably one or two words added to it.
Thank you,
Sophia. Yeah.
You are?
Yeah. I just wanted to add that, to my view, a language committee and of course a language community is a wider term than a linguistic expert. A linguistic expert can be someone that is a very specific knowledge about the language. But in a language committee, I would expect, as I said, people from GAC, people from other relevant bodies that represent other issues that are relevant to the language. Sometimes it could be political issues. Carrie, you will know what I'm talking about. Do you remember the behemoth case that we had in the IDN PAC? Which was raised, and just think about the a case that this TLD would have really been requested in, you know. So this is what I mean. So it's not only a linguistic issue, but people in that committee would cover all kinds of things that are relevant to the language.
Thank you.
Tina. Thanks, Ron. So just some clarification. I just got a little bit confused about how you're redrafting this, and just want to check and make sure that you didn't remove the GAC from this, because...
No, I haven't. We were merely commenting on the second agreement, which says, agreement that a suitable process for consultation, including with relevant language communities, is needed when considering new IDN GTLD strings. The first one remains as it was modified, which is agreement that within the process for new GTLD consideration, the process of determining whether a string has a geopolitical impact is a challenge, and that GAC consultation may be necessary but may not provide comprehensive responses.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that we keep GAC included in this because GAC is the body that ICANN would consult with for some of these issues.
It is. Thank you.
Thanks.
Rob, may I make in the interest of not getting stuck on this point alone forever, may I suggest something?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. I think that you have a modified version of the original agreement using primarily LSTS text, which says including, you know, language community. Now, you also have a separate statement saying there's some support for, you know, more or less what originally was proposed, you know, for example, blah, 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 blah. If we leave both those things, I think that pretty much everyone's issues would probably at this point be taken care of, correct?
Well, I have not heard agreement on that second point. I've only heard...
I meant support, not...
Yes,
not
yes, and in fact, that's what I have on the wiki. If you go to the idn.wat.ca...
It seems to me with the second statement that has included somewhat, you know, a nod to the language community, the second statement, the agreement, the second agreement, not the GAC agreement, but the second agreement, as it stood, has added a nod to the language community. Now, separately, there's a support statement that is more specific about what some of these, as an example, could be. So it appears to me that between the two is some kind of a compromise, and you can just go with both, and it satisfies, from what I've heard, pretty much everyone's thoughts on the matter. And just the one last point, I think Yoav might be too polite to bring up the issue of the hippopotamus, but I think at one point some time ago, just so that everybody understands it, one, from what I understand, the case to be, you have to correct me, but the hippopotamus was for the lab tests of the DNAs or whatever it was, sometime long ago, some testing of domain, not DNAs, but, you know, domain names altogether, for some testing purposes for these tests for several months ago, someone came up with the word .hippo or hippopotamus to be the word, the string that will be tested, some random string in every language, I believe. And it turns out that the cognate or the equivalent of the word is mothers was picked up to be in either Hebrew or Yiddish, I don't know whichever one, I'm never confused about
it that. It was Hebrew for my...
But Hebrew. But one of them that it came up, it actually in practice meant essentially a word that you may not want to talk about in this phone call. Let's say it begins with A-S-S and then goes further, okay? So that's the term...
Yeah, that was the meaning. Yeah.
Okay, that was the meaning on a daily basis for the people who speak and use this, the only people in the world who happen to be...
I think we agree with you, Tobias.
Right. It's up already. Point
the
of clarification.
The point that he was trying to make was that
the reason why we are in the, you know, what we have here, I think we have agreement. I'd like to move forward to the next point.
Yeah.
I'd like to move to 4.2.5. which says agreement on the following statement. Specific to geographic and geopolitical names that have an IDN component, the working group will identify the ramifications of multiple languages and scripts, provide that along with expert commentary into the reserved names working group deferring to that group. This has been or is being done. So I would not like to open this up for questions or comments, because this is merely saying that we're going to take action, which events have already transpired.
This is when I just think I'm a little bit confused about the timelines here.
Yeah, this was really from the minutes of an earlier meeting, Werner.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm going to do is in the final document, I'm not going to call this agreement. This is going to go into commentary that the IDN working group provided expert commentary into the reserved names working group.
Mm-hmm.
Let me move to 4.3.1, aspects relating to existing GTLD strings and existing IDN SLDs in those. 4.3.1 says...
I have a comment for you. Hello, I have a comment on 4.3.1.
Okay, great. Go ahead, please.
Okay, regarding this issue, the issue of the single simple each application, we have some variant characters widely used by clients in my home country. I speak a lot Persian, not any other language. I have no profession on them. I'm sure there are many variant characters in my language, and And there are more in my neighbor countries who are Persian, like Afghanistan, Tajikistan, and Armenia. Okay? I think we have to add an exception in this agreement. My suggestion is my suggestion is to add this phrase at the end. Except in the rare cases of needed alternative ethnic variants of new GTLD. Okay?
Could you repeat that, Charam? Except in the rare cases?
Except in the rare cases of needed alternative ethnic variants of new, of that GTLD.
Okay, got it.
Okay, thanks.
So the 4.3.1, the amendment that is in front of everybody is the following. Agreement that the approach of the new GTLD PDP is one string for each application, except in the rare case of needed alternative script variants of that GTLD. Open this up for comment.
Okay, this is Aubrey. I want to be in the queue, but I don't necessarily want to speak to this amendment.
Okay.
On the particular amendment, this is Edmund.
Go ahead, Edmund. Why don't you go first, and then Aubrey goes after you.
I actually think it's a good idea to add that.
Okay. You, Aubrey.
Okay. As I said, this had not to do with that amendment. There had been the notion I had floated after conversations I had with people from various language communities about the at least option of getting a LDN alias, and as an ASCII alias for an IDN name. Now, there had been a certain amount of support for that idea within the group, certainly not agreement on it. I wouldn't want to claim that there was agreement. Now, I'm not sure this exactly fits here, because in one sense, it still is one string. It's just got an alias, and so I'm not sure how to get that in, but I don't see that represented somewhere else in the report unless I missed it. So I'm bringing that up in this instance.
May I have a comment?
Yes,
I don't agree with the alias. I think alias is something that can be an alternative in meaning. But what I mean is that the character variant. We have some characters that they are already the same. They are always the same. We pronounce them the same. But the only difference is in the Unicode ID.
Yeah, no,
do you understand?
Yeah, I understand. This had nothing to do with the amendment for variants. This was another issue related to 4.3.1. It was not at all in response to your to the proposed amendment for variants.
Okay, thank you.
This is Olaf, may I be in the queue?
Olaf, you have the
I have to admit to Aubrey that I didn't capture that in the draft. And I guess, well, depending on whether there is support or agreement on it, it should be introduced somewhere. But I think it's a separate point.
Yeah, I agree. It's probably separate. It's just this was the closest one to hang it to.
Fair enough. Aubrey, would you mind stating what you would like to see into 4.3, and then perhaps we can we can open it up for discussion.
Okay. Do you want me to do that now, or do you want to wait until you finish the discussion on 4.3.1, and I'll try to craft the words?
Sure. I'll ask one last time on 4.3.1. The current amendment follows is as follows. Agreement that the approach of the new GTLD PDP is one string for each application, except in the rare case, needed alternative script variants of that GTLD. Okay, Aubrey, the floor is yours now.
Okay, so I guess what I'd like to see is something to the effect of agreement that it be an option in an application for an IDN to be accompanied by a single LDH alias. I'm not sure if the wording's not a little awkward, but...
Are you suggesting a single character? Or
no, a single LDH alias label. In other words, yeah, no, it would be long, but not the A label. In other words, mm-hmm. some other, you know, label that is an LDH, and as it is a proper ASCII LDH label. No, I'm certainly not suggesting it be a second guy, single character.
Ron, this is Tina. Can I ask for some a clarifying question?
Sure, please.
So, Ari, maybe you have an example or something, because I don't necessarily know that everybody understands or put the same meaning to what a single LDH alias is.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's quite all right. Let me go to okay, let me say that in Hebrew somebody wanted to do an IDN katul, which is a cat. And now, of course, we can't use that cat, so we'll have to find something else.
Katul.
Right, and so someone would get an LDH alias, and that could be pussycat, it could be cat in Hebrew. But it would be a single LDH label that associated as an alias. So as an alias, it would have the same entry. It would always point to the same SLDs all the way through. It would be a proper alias. I'm not saying DNAME because that's an implementation detail as opposed to alias. But
right. If
DNAME worked, then you might do one of those to do this.
So do you mean that by, so you mean just one alias to whatever the string is that you want? And per your description of that, does that mean that it's not a variant, but it could be anything, you know, just two strings that someone thought should be associated by aliasing, but not necessarily variant?
Well, I think the variant is being used as a technical definition of a character variant within the same IDN, if I understand correctly.
That is correct.
Right.
Whereas this
is an ASCII LDH string that I would think it should have the same meaning. But I don't know that I'm saying that it must have the same meaning, but I would expect it to. So if it was, you know.
Can I ask a clarification question, Ramonda? To Aubrey, maybe.
Go ahead.
Okay. Is this assuming that we have aliasing in place? And if so, if not, if that's not been decided by the working group yet, would it make sense to add it as a point item or an action item?
Well, aliasing exists.
It seems to me that this is not about aliasing rather it's about an alias label.
Right. Aliasing exists.
Where aliasing exists?
It can be done in the DNS, and Tina, please correct me if I'm wrong. DNAME may not be the way of doing it, but aliasing exists. I do it in my own DNS entry.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have any aliasing at the top level at this point in time in the root zone, but there's different technical ways of providing that functionality. If we want it at the top level, I would assume that we needed to do a test out of it to make sure that it's working the right way, and maybe compare the different ways of providing that functionality before we choose which one is providing it from a technical standpoint. But other than that, I think it's a policy decision of whether aliasing is something that is needed.
Yeah, and I mean, I do think aliasing would need to be tested at the top level. I know it's used pretty much at the other levels, below top level.
It's used at second and lower levels.
Right. I know I use it at third level all the time.
DNAME records abound in the domain name system. They're just not in the root zone.
Right.
Now, Aubrey, you know, just so that you can help us along, and probably me as well as maybe others, is what would be the reasoning and sort of purpose for introducing this?
Okay, yeah, okay. There was basically two quick reasons, and I mean, they're in the mailing list to get into it in more detail.
Sorry.
The first reason was that there were people that wanted
there, they wanted an IDN because they wanted something with their national identity, with their language identity, but they also wanted it to be accessible by people that weren't in the language community. And so, therefore, that was one reason. The second reason was when they travel and are using non-IDN keyboards, borrowing my machine, as it were, or, you know, going to the ICANN and sitting down at the machines that are made available publicly, or an internet cafe, and you don't have the character set from your IDN, as opposed to having to list, you know, the A label, you can actually work on the ASCII.
Yes. So then, when you were suggesting this, is this to were you also thinking in terms of everything to the second level itself?
That would be up, of course. That would be up to the registry. If you were a registry, I mean, this is just an assumption. Yes. If you were a registry that wanted this alias at the top level, then you would probably either suggest it or enforce it at lower ones.
Yeah,
but that's the registry.
To me, it seems like, okay, just as a technical issue, rather than a policy issue. If it is that the purpose is that you want to be able to access a TLD, that is an IDN TLD, because the character set isn't there on the keyboard or whatever, we're talking about just the top level, then, you know, these strings that in general, I mean, where we're going to be issuing as TLDs are going to be short, I mean, 1, 2, 3 characters, whatever. So there is a possibility, whereas it may not be obviously the most ideal possibility, but is there not a possibility that you can actually type the tunicode string for itself?
Well, that's right. The other option is that people do start using the A labels all the way through, and certainly that is an option. It was not one that people were totally happy with because, you know, it's as difficult as a number in being a non-logical set of characters. But, yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, in the sense that this is for people, I mean, the reason you're bringing this up is because in case that you wanted to be able to, because you're really stuck and you wanted to be able to access it, you know, in ASCII, in a sense. And the issue of talking about the second level, the second level label, which is generally going to be longer anyway, and that's really not an issue here, because that's really up to the registry of going forward, whether you want the third and the fourth label, that just, you know, is different. But at the level of the top level that we're talking about, my point is that already exists a way, as long as the strings are short enough, XN dash dash, you can type that and get there. Second point I wanted to make is, I mean, it's not like there's no other way. There is a way. And secondly, it may not be elegant, but the second thing I wanted to point out is that if that is indeed the need, in practice, people are probably going to do this anyway in the next 5-10 year rollout. It's my belief. I'm not going to be, you know, people already have a website that, you know, whatever. You've got a multilingual label, a multilingual domain name, blah, blah, dot, blah, blah. Well, then, if you, a lot of these people already have. Nobody's going to give up their ASCII domains. I mean, if that were true, then, you know, maybe we should all not be buying Verisign stock anymore. We all believe that, you know, .com is going to continue to grow. ASCII labels are going to continue to grow. So the possibility exists that if an individual user wants to, you know, have a domain name for his website, well, he'll get the blah, blah, dot, blah, blah, in addition to an ASCII string that they already have that maps to the same IP address. So if they were traveling, that's what you'd use. I mean, it seems to me, you know, this is obviously somebody who does know some English, right?
Right.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, that's the
point. It's like between what you're saying, Avery, and what you're saying, Zubaya, perhaps the, you know, the suggestion from Avery that this be called agreement perhaps should go to support.
I don't know. I'm just,
and as
I'm
I say, it's just an option. It's not a requirement.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I understand. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
May I have a comment, please? Sharam,
go ahead.
Regarding the issue, I have an example. We have a character set in Persian that is very, very similar to the Arabic. So what happens is an Iranian goes to the Arabic land, and he wants to type the Persian TLD, but he does not have this character. What happens?
This is Werner, may I follow up the patient that you said?
Sure, go ahead, Werner.
I think the overwhelming, I think, criterion that we should use is what Tobias put in one of the emails to the list and says, you know, if our approach really works, it's going to be decided by the users. And we should not put unreasonable problems that can be avoided in front of them. So what we just had as a question regarding Persian and Arabic is probably on the same level as what Avery pointed out with respect to an LDH alias. So we should keep the path open for registries who did actually do their homework and sort out what they need for the specific community to request aliases, be it for script aliases or convenience that actually are useful for the community that they want to serve. We should not overly restrict it. We should leave the burden of proof on the applicant.
Thank you. What I'm going to do on this topic now is I'm going to, Avery, take a suggestion, move that into what I'm calling support at this point. Publish it, the document that'll get updated here, and then we'll get back to this in our next conversation.
Works for me. Thank you.
Thank you. I realize that we are now at the 2-hour mark, and that was our designated time for this call. We have made a little bit of progress, but alas, I must confess to you that we've made less progress, or at least we have had velocity, so there has been some direction here, but we have not achieved the end goal. What I might end up doing here is to ask for an extraordinary extra meeting to be held between here and next Tuesday's meeting so that we can actually have some time to go through agreements and go through the areas of, because we have some amount of topics left to be discussed. I would like to suggest that we go to the early hour on Friday. And what I would like to do is really, instead of discussing the calendar here, I'll ask Glenn to propose a time, and if there are, if there is a huge number of people who cannot make it, then, we'll consider an alternative. But it seems to me that we need to press forward because it's been a very good set of discussions today, and I'm quite pleased that we've already gotten moved forward on 1, 2, 3, 4 areas or 4 topics where we say we've got agreement, and I look forward to going further in the next call.
Ram, may I just make a comment? This is Yoav. I think on the last point when you said the support on Avery's point, maybe we can start from there in the next call if we don't have time right now, because from my opinion, I just thought about it a little more, and I think that what Sharam brought up was not really understood by everyone, and I think that there are some more issues there that we need to think about. And if you don't want to go through it right now, maybe we should start from it in the next call.
I'm happy to do that, Yoav. Thank you.
Okay.
Folks, thank you for your time. I appreciate your thoughtfulness and being on the call. I look forward to seeing you on the next call, which will be later this week. At a time to be announced, please watch your emails and also watch for the document as it is modified come your way. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, Robin.